Hello and welcome back to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and connected once again as we continue to practice proper social distancing from his home. My partner, Bo Matthews, is here. Can you hear us, Bo?
I can, Tony. How are you, man?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Are we going to change the name to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Indoors now?
Is that what we need kidding. To do? No kidding. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm tired of it.
It's kind of this weekend, kind of crappy weather, but we actually had some really great weather over throughout the week and last weekend. And so hopefully a lot of people got out into the great outdoors. I was last weekend, I don't know if you how it was down there in deep southern Missouri in the Matthews compound, but it up in Florissant, people were out. Traffic was crazy. The hardware stores. I went to Home Depot. Our vacuum cleaner shot craps, so I had to buy a new vacuum cleaner last weekend. Tried to go to Home Depot. The line just to get in Home Depot was insane. The line to get in True Value was crazy. Target was packed. So it's not exactly the great outdoors when you're going shopping, but people were out. And I think they're getting a little bit stir crazy at this point.
I was at Lowe's yesterday, Tony. I'm telling you, I felt like I was getting on a roller coaster at Six Flags. I mean, it was just like, okay, move ahead. Yeah. And nobody in that line is keeping the 6 feet distance. I had this old dude behind me, and he's chatting me up, and we're talking, but he's one of those close talkers.
Yeah.
Close talkers are death in this coronavirus world that we're living in. Stand back.
Right.
And I looked at him and said, are you here for a lot of things? He goes, nope, just trying to get some mole poison because he had moles in his yard. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, whatever. It was all, I mean, not all, but it was a large percentage of people going to the home and garden section, the outdoor section, just buying plants or a couple bags of dirt. And I'm not sure that that's an essential. And look, I'm not knocking anybody. I was there too. I was out shopping as well. I'm just
saying.
And
what were you there for?
A vacuum cleaner. But
okay.
I said my vacuum cleaner, our vacuum cleaner blew up on my wife last week. So we had to go buy a new one, or I was out buying a new one. But
goes a paycheck.
But I was, right. Remember back in the day when you actually did have to like finance vacuum cleaners? Now they're like $39.
Hold on. Which one did you get? My goodness. I mean, Dyson's like $500.
Oh, yeah. No. I got a little Dirt Devil for probably, I didn't get the cheapest one, probably $80 or something like that. Yeah. No, there was like a $40 one, though. The point is, people were out. Like, I know that a lot of places are still closed, but a lot of people were, at least in my neighborhood, a lot of people were out for not essential reasons, just because it was nice weather and people are sick of being cooped up at home.
Sanity essential.
Yeah. I think we might be getting to a line. You know, we might be getting to that point where people are starting to say, okay, we did everything you said we were supposed to do. Now it's time to go back to work. We'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. I know a lot of places, even in our area, are starting to open back up. Franklin County is starting to open up a bunch of, movie theaters and bowling alleys.
What?
And, yeah. Yeah. Starting.
Well, it is amazing. I saw the news. I saw the news this morning. I think in Jefferson County, where I live, there's only like 3 deaths. I think it was 3 deaths and 54 cases or whatever. It's like, okay, there's 54 people at the Buckeye Farm Store. I mean, that's not a lot of people, but, you know, we're doing our best to stay to ourselves.
Yeah, this weekend, Franklin County started opening golf courses, movie theaters, concert halls, gymnasium, fitness studios, bowling alleys, and skating rinks. So phase one in Franklin County has already begun. But it's important that we're going to have this discussion today. A little bit later on in the show, we are going to talk to Chef Jason McGraw, who's been on the show before. He is actually recovering from COVID-19. So let's get some, personal information from somebody, firsthand information from somebody who actually experienced this virus. And I think that's always very eye-opening and informational when you hear firsthand how this virus affects people that had it. So looking forward to having Chef on.
The question is, and I just asked you before we began, do you know anybody personally? And yes, we have a coworker that went through it and survived it, thank God.
Yeah.
But it's horrible. It's a horrible thing when you see the news and the bodies are stacked up in the refrigerator trucks and all that stuff. But I just personally, and Chef Jason was the first person I actually knew.
Yeah.
That had it and survived it.
Yeah,
so.
Our buddy Mike Ferguson, who has a show on 97.1 FM Talk, who I've worked with for years, was on one of my other shows a couple weeks ago, and he walked us through his experience with COVID-19. And it, like I said, if you haven't heard a firsthand account of it, definitely stick around because it can, you know, you learn a lot. You know, you're not just hearing what some reporter or some politician is telling you about the disease or the virus. You're hearing it from firsthand. So Chef Jason McGraw has been on the show before and he's going to be joining us in the next segment. Right now, we need to get to our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who starts the show with us each and every week. Great to talk with you, Aaron. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Tony?
I am well. I hear you're having a daddy-daughter day.
We are having a daddy-daughter day.
Well, definitely tell Piper that we said hello. That is awesome. So
yeah, we might go to the range. I haven't made up my mind.
Well, nice. There you go. Yay, when your daddy owns a gun store, that's what daddy-daughter day looks like. I love it. what's the latest at Southern Armory? It's, you know, the world changes every week, so I don't know if it's the same as it was last week when we talked to you or if things have changed drastically. What's going on at the shop?
Yeah, so wholesalers are still running behind. I'm just still baffled that it's still this. I want to say congested, right?
Backed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Jessica and I were talking last night and I said, hey, you know, how is inventory? And she's like, well, we got rifles. I was like, that's good. And then I was like, and handguns, I go, still selling out before they even hit the door. She's like, yep. And I was like, all right. So what do you got in stock right now? She's like, oh, like three handguns. And then she's like, supposed to get any more, you know, tomorrow. This is, you know, earlier this week. And she's like, and even those are selling out before, or those are selling before they even hit the door. And I was like, that's just wild.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my buddy that's an ammunition manufacturer, him and I have been loading and prepping as much as we can just to get it out to everybody. And then of course, you know, I'm doing the podcast and stuff as well to keep up with the news, because the news is just a very brisk cycle with the 2A stuff even going on with the coronavirus. It's like, wow, this is all just absolutely wild. So if you come in, we've got guns and we've got rifles and we've got ammunition. However, it's a continuous flow.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something specific, you need to call.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. Ammunition. Is the run on ammo still as intense as it has been, or is it starting to slow down?
It's still on, which I'm baffled. Saw an interesting article the other day, and the other day, like 2 days ago, basically said that experts may predict civil unrest in the United States. And I'm like, really? Like, really? Like, I mean, I figured if it was going to happen, it was going to happen a week or two ago. But they're basically saying now people are tired of the shutdowns. And I was like, okay, I see that. You know, we've seen photos of people marching on the capitals and they're carrying guns. And people are like, why are these people carrying guns for a shutdown? And so we're going to unpack that in the podcast. But it's just absolutely interesting that people are turning to their Second Amendment. They are going to these Capitol buildings and marching on them in multiple states. and counties throughout the United States. The other thing that I find interesting is now they're predicting food shortages. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, the meat companies are being infected by it. Tyson and Smithfield. I mean, I was having a conversation with my vegetarian wife, and she's like, you might want to stock up on some meat. And I'm like, thanks, honey. I need to buy a freezer. But yeah, that's a real thing. And hunger is going to be the best motivator, whether it's a good reason or a bad reason. If you're hungry, you're going to eat or you're going to feed your family.
Right. And then the other part of that, too, and I knew this was going to come anyway, was, we import a lot of our produce from foreign countries. And with these countries that are getting affected, they basically stop the importation of everything out of these countries. So you're going to see the produce start to run out. And I've got a friend that's a manager at a fairly large local grocery store. It's got a bunch of chain or a bunch of, buildings and stores throughout the St. Louis metro area. And I said, I'm waiting for, produce and stuff to start kind of running out. And she looked at me and kind of turned a little pale. And I'm like, what? She goes, well, that's the call I got today was, what we've got is what we've got. And don't really expect much more. And I go, oh, well, maybe I'll wander over the produce area. And she's like, there ain't a lot.
Wow.
And we went over there and it was like, yeah, this is really picked over, but we're not in the growth season right now. So you're not going to be getting stuff that you would normally get from the U.S. It's all being imported. So, produce, meat was another big one that I saw multiple times. So, and then you've got the gas thing going on, gas goes negative. So where we are, we're totally uncharted territory. And I agree with you, Bo, food is going to be a massive, massive motivator. Either you're going to go shoot something like a squirrel or a rabbit, try to feed yourself and your family, or it's going to go dark and it's going to kind of flip the other side there, and you're going to go try to take something by force.
We're not a third world country. Can you imagine those countries like China that have the wet markets? Tony, you've seen the pictures, you've seen the videos. What about those people? What are they eating in these times? I mean, we're a spoiled nation here. We want something, we get it, we order it on Amazon. My wife, I mentioned, is a vegetarian. Lettuce, you can't freeze lettuce. You can't. I've got to go get it fresh every few days. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. You ever try to freeze lettuce? I did once.
No.
When I was a younger man, I thought you could do it. It doesn't turn out very well.
Well, I'm just going off her recommendation, so yeah. I'm sure that story is pretty much same.
Yeah, it does not. It does not work out. Hey, Aaron, before we run out of time, you mentioned the podcast. Where can people get the podcast, and how can people learn more about Southern Armory and make sure that they get out there and they visit you for all of their firearms needs?
So the podcast hopefully will get approved by the powers that be this weekend. Otherwise, you can just stay tuned to the Second Amendment News podcast on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And once they hit, there's going to be a bunch of episodes that'll hit once it's approved, because we needed a series of them. Once that happens, you'll have several of them to be able to plow through and listen to. We're going to try to put out at least one a week, maybe two a week. So you'll have a little bit of a news cycle. Plus, you'll always be able to hear us on 97.1. Second Amendment Radio, which is really where it all started.
And KMOX.
And you come into the store and still visit us. We're 1 mile east of 270-44, 9901 Watson Road, and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Also, the Southern Armory Facebook page is a great place to go. Since you talk about those early days of Second Amendment Radio, Aaron, we've been talking about this since day one. Aaron answers questions and does tutorials, shows you how to, does videos about building guns, cleaning guns, all of that stuff on the Southern Armory Facebook page. So Southern Armory on Facebook and SouthernArmory.com for everything that, like I said, all of your firearms needs. Aaron, thank you so much. We will talk to you next week, my friend. Enjoy Daddy-Daughter Day. Tell Piper hello.
I will do.
All right. Bye. See you, dude. All right, we got to take a break. Like I mentioned, coming up next, we are going to talk to Chef Jason McGraw. Chef has been on the show before, and he is recovering, thank God, from COVID-19, and we are going to get his firsthand account of experiencing the virus when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner Bo Matthews is dialed in from the Matthews compound in southern Missouri. You love it when I say
laugh.
That.
it does make me laugh.
Well, we're practicing proper social distancing, so Bo is still not in the studio with us, but he is dialed in. Bo, you're just, before we went back on the air there, you're talking about Razorback Armory. I want to remind folks that our buddy Jesse from Razorback is going to be joining us in the next segment. He's also going to be joining us for the podcast exclusive Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors. We release two podcasts every week. We release the show podcast before the show even airs. We release the podcast for the show on Fridays. And then, of course, the show airs on Saturdays on 97.1 FM Talk and on Sundays on KMOX. And you can get that podcast before the show airs. That's in case you want to take the show with you as you are out and about in the great outdoors throughout the weekend. You don't have to wait for it to air. You have it ahead of time, so you can just take that podcast with you. And then on Mondays, we release our podcast exclusive, which is some discussion that you can only get on our podcast. And this week, Jesse from Razorback is going to stick around and continue his on-air conversation with us on the podcast exclusive. So make sure you're checking that out on Mondays. You can get our podcast in many places. The best place, I believe, to get it is the radio.com app, which is a free app. You favorite the radio station once you have it, and then you have everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. So we appreciate all of that support. And as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us now on the phone is Chef Jason McGraw. Jason is a chef. He's an outdoorsman. He's a feral hog hunter, which we were talking about off the air in a conversation that almost ran out of time and took the conversation on air. There's so much interesting stuff that Jason has to talk about when it comes to hunting feral hogs. It's an issue we've discussed on this show many, many times, so we're going to have Chef Jason back to continue that conversation at some point because it is very interesting. But the reason we wanted to have Chef back on the show this week is that Chef is, thank God, recovering from coronavirus, from COVID-19. And Bo, we were talking in that last segment about how actually hearing a firsthand account of someone who has experienced coronavirus themselves is so much more eye-opening and so much more informative than what you might hear from a reporter or a politician.
It is, because Jason is the first person that I actually know. I've met him, I've hung out with him, rode motorcycles with him. He's the first person I've known that got it.
Yeah.
And so really worried, but he of course likes to do everything, you know, bigger and better than everybody else. So he went with an appendicitis and COVID-19 at the same time. Hi,
geez,
Chef.
God, no kidding. Chef, thank you so much for joining us. Chef Jason McGraw joins us now. First off, Chef, how are you feeling?
I'm tired. Yeah. I'm sore. but definitely feel like I'm on the other end of things.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. And I know, you know, this is not a disease for anybody to get, but especially someone whose lifestyle is so used to being outside and on the go and being out in the great outdoors to be shut down and quarantined and unable to move or even get out of bed for days or weeks at a time, I'm sure has just been a horrible experience. And I'm so glad that you are starting to turn the corner on this thing. We unfortunately don't have that long of a time to talk to get into every single detail of your experience with coronavirus, but I'd love to hear what you are able to share with us. Kind of start from the beginning. Like, when did you first feel symptoms and realize that this could be, you know, more than just a common cold, and maybe it was, you know, what it ended up being?
Well, for me, it hit pretty quick. I mean, I hit with real heavy, heavy costs right off the bat, to the point where, I mean, I would go under, just talking would cause me to go into a talking or a coughing frenzy. My chest was really, really heavy. It was hard to breathe. That literally happened within a day. Prior to that, I'd had like 4 or 5 days of just constant headaches, which is not normal for me. Just would not go away no matter what I did. So, I mean, that was kind of the lead up to it. But once it really got into it, it was to a point where I really didn't want to get out of bed. It was very, very weighty, on my chest. I was hot, cold, constantly. I can't tell you how many times we had to change out my bedding because I was sweating through it.
Wow. And I've heard that the test, at least the original test, I know that there's, I think, some new ones that have been developed here recently, but the test I've heard is not a fun experience. What was the coronavirus test that you got, and then how long did it take before you had the results back?
The tests I had when we did them were swabs down your nose, and they were not at all fun. They go very deep, and it is very painful. It was the first one. It was almost 30 hours before I got the results. But then I was tested again when the situation came up with the appendicitis, which the reason I was tested originally was because my temperature spiked to 103.2. Because originally we were just monitoring at home and dealing with remote appointments. Because originally I had called my regular doctor, and they were not seeing people with COVID symptoms in office, and they referred me to Mercy online for that. They prescribed some medication and said as long as I could be treated at home, that they would not test. Well, then once I hit that 103.2, it was enough to have them do a test, and that's when we found out that I had it.
So were you ever hospitalized, or were you able to stay at home throughout this whole experience?
I stayed at home.
Because the appendicitis, you would have had to have gone into the
hospital. I had to go to the hospital for the appendicitis, but I honestly, at the point that I went to the hospital, that was after I'd actually turned the corner with the COVID.
Okay.
You were never on a ventilator. You never got to that point, right?
No.
Thank goodness.
No.
Yeah, that's good.
No.
I do want to mention to you, Tony, that the headaches that he talked about as part of the symptoms probably were all of his friends, including me, saying, dude, go to the hospital, because he was pretty vocal on social media about feeling terrible. So, Jason, you're welcome.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, while I was going through this, being a chef, it's really weird because my taste buds went to hell. I drink a lot of Gatorade and stuff, and it made it taste like tinny, really nasty. Just eating stuff was weird. It just wasn't the same. I mean, there was just so many different things about this that was different than any other kind of like flu or anything that I'd had. I will tell you though, as rough as it was, not to take away from it, but I mean, it wasn't any worse than like when I'd had the flu or anything else.
Right.
I had different kinds of symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you feel guilty saying that. You don't have to feel, I've heard that from other people too, that, it almost feels like you're supposed to talk about how this is the worst thing I could have ever gone through, and it's the most pain I've ever experienced. And when it's not, it's like you almost feel sorry for that. But this is what I'm talking about real information, a true account. And everybody's experience is different. My friend Mike Ferguson was in the ICU with COVID-19.
Right.
So his experience is more than yours. But it's important to hear the truth about the different firsthand accounts that people have had. That's why I really appreciate you. Yeah, you telling your story.
Well, when the thing is I realize that it does hit different people different ways. you know, and I'm not in one of the high risk groups. You know, I'm fairly active. I don't smoke. You know, so, you know, there's a lot, you know, I'm not extremely old.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not immune.
Just kind of old.
Bo just rolled his eyes at you. I could see it from here.
Bo, you don't have, I mean, I said not extremely old. I'm not immune compromised. You know, there's a lot of things that I have going in my favor on that, you know, created my experience.
Yeah.
Now, had I had some of those other things, I could imagine it being so much worse. If I had asthma or breathing problems to start with, my lung pressure and everything else that was going on probably would have been hell.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yep. Yeah. Talking to Chef Jason McGraw about his experience with coronavirus. Only got a few minutes left, Chef. So without having to deal with this mostly at home, I don't know what your home situation is like. How many people are there, wife, kids, you know, how many people are there in the house? And what was it like trying to, you know, quarantine yourself off in a home that other people live in?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. I mean, I have a 900 square foot house in Florissant, and I have three kids and two dogs. I mean, and there's five of us. If one of us were to get it, I don't know where we would. I don't know how we could avoid the others. You know what I mean?
The garden shed.
Yeah.
You're out back,
no
buddy.
Kidding.
Well, lucky for us, my wife and I, we have a blended family where, you know, she had three and I had three, and we were able to, as this was going on, my three stayed at their mom's house. Our oldest one is in nursing school and is a nurse at Cox Hospital in Springfield, so she was away. And our other senior was at her dad's. We only had one of the children here that was actually exposed, so he rode it out with us. And he was the 13-year-old that's a soccer stud and super healthy, super active, and just absolutely not anywhere on the spectrum of something that would have really affected him mm-hmm. too much. So mm-hmm. it was just he and I and my wife, and she was working from home. So she wasn't in a position to put anybody else at risk anyways. So we were able to just kind of shut it down to just us. And thankfully, knock on wood right now, neither one of them have exhibited any symptoms or any issues.
That's great.
We thought my wife was at first. She started getting a headache and different things, but I think that was just seasonal allergy type of thing. So, you know, for the most part, we've been very lucky.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead, Bo.
Tony, real quick. Mm-hmm. Chef is kind of like the Chuck Norris of the chef world. Chef, how many days during the last 3 weeks did you not make dinner?
Oh, probably three.
Yeah, see?
Wow.
He powered through, man. He's a great chef.
That is amazing. And Chef, I really, like I said, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. I wish we had more time. We'll have to have you back really soon to not only talk about this, but like I said, talk about the great outdoors, talk about some of the cooking that you do, and also some of the hunting that you do, because there's some really interesting stories to be had there. Before we let you go, is there any sort of one piece of information or one message that you would like people to know about COVID-19, that maybe something that we see on television that you kind of roll your eyes at consistently, or maybe misinformation that you'd like to debunk or whatever? Is there any just kind of one message that you'd like people to know about this virus?
Probably the number one thing I'd want them to know is the information that I got that I thought was the most helpful is to get your ass up and moving around. It's real easy to lay there. But that, honestly, when I was laying there, it was getting worse. But I had people tell me that I needed to get moving around. So I would get up and I would just take little walks in the house, you know, even in my room.
Yeah.
And just get up and start getting it circulating so I could try and work that stuff out of my chest. Because if not, it just settles in. And that's when you end up on the ventilator, and that's when you end up in even more problems. So,
did they treat you with, did they give you the malaria drug or the Z-Pak? What was the prescription, if you don't mind sharing that information?
I ended up with, they didn't do the Z-Pak with me. They did some inhalers, breathing treatments, and... but I did not get the hydrochloro,
gotcha.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know that they're prescribing that much. I think a lot of it has to do with politics.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, no, that's kind of why I was wondering. I know our friend Mike Ferguson, who works here at 97.1, he was given it, but he was, like I said, in the ICU, so his situation was a little more intense than yours
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I think they're saving that for... You know, those who are at that last ditch effort, like we gotta get this. You know, I never got to that point, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, Chef, listen. Thank you so much. I couldn't say thank you enough for sharing your story and giving our listeners a little insight into what it's like actually living with COVID-19. And we're so happy that you are turning the corner and starting to feel better. And we'll have to have you back on the show again real soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Chef.
See you, Chef.
All right, we need to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk to our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Yeah. All right, we're jumping.
Yeah. That's a good song, Chad.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and producer Chad Ellis in studio. My partner Bo Matthews is connected to, he's at his house as we continue to practice proper social distancing. Amazing stuff in that last segment from Chef Jason McGraw, who is recovering from COVID-19. That conversation could have went twice as long. So much good information there from Chef Jason. As I mentioned, just hearing a firsthand account of somebody who has gone through coronavirus, you learn so much more, and you get so much more insight than what you get on the news and from politicians and reporters. So big thank you again to Chef Jason McGraw for sharing that with us. If you missed it or you want to hear it again, of course, download our podcast. Two podcasts every week that we release. On Friday, we put out the show podcast before the show even airs. And then on Monday, we put out the podcast exclusive, which is a discussion that you can only get on the podcast. And you can get those podcasts pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. But my favorite place is the radio.com app, which is free. All you have to do is download the app and favorite the radio station. Then you can stream the station and download the podcast right there on the app. And sticking around with us for this week's podcast exclusive is our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory, who's going to be joining us in a minute. And since we're going to be talking to Razorback Armory, this segment is brought to you by...
What? Razorback Armory. They're a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts, whether it's sports shooting, self-defense, or hunting. Check out RazorbackArmory.com. And on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270, you tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Yeah, so Jesse, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And like I said, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive when it comes out on Monday, as we will continue this discussion with Jesse. How are things out there at Razorback, Jess?
Doing good. Staying busy. Seeing a lot of new faces. Trying to service the community and keep everybody well armed.
Yeah. So the last time we talked to you, you were, it was busy. You were having the same issue that we've talked with about a lot of, you know, that we've been hearing about in the industry, in the firearms industry. Have things slowed down at all, gotten back to normal at all, or is it still a run on handguns and ammo just like the last time we talked to you?
It's slowed down a little bit. Now we're shifting gears to a problem of inventory. Because everybody in the nation is trying to buy from the same wholesalers, the same distributors, and we're we're spending a lot more time on the phone with different wholesalers trying to make sure that we can stay stocked and still have product to get to everyone. But there's not as many lines as the people, you know, at the shop coming in. It's kind of I think this is the new normal for a while with mm-hmm. the amount of people we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. And what about, so ammo, is that something that you can get again now, or is it still a wait on getting the common ammunition?
Yeah, common ammunition, your 9, your 5.56, your 7.62, 39, 40 cal, 45. So we can get it, and we are getting it, and we're getting shipments almost daily. The problem is we can't get as much as we would like at one time because we're having to spread out our orders across different vendors, which are only allowing, you know, us to purchase, you know, certain quantities. I can get case quantities, or I might be able to get 2 cases here. So we're spreading it out. And then what really stings us on the backside of that is they're 3 to 4 weeks out on shipping. So the ammo I'm getting today, I ordered almost a month ago.
Wow. And can you?
And say a case, do people buy? Normally, we're in the same studio, so I can hold my hand up. Like I got a question. About that.
Jump in.
And some of the stores that I've been in, they're limiting people to 1 box of ammo or something like that. But if somebody called and said, "I want a case," can you do that, or do you do that?
I wouldn't do it right now because it wouldn't be fair to everybody else. We're limiting to. Unless I've got an excessive quantity of an ammo for some reason, which honestly I don't really have it. We're limiting you to 2 boxes of ball ammo and a box of defensive ammo per caliber. So if you wanted 3 boxes of 9mm, you can get a box of hollow points, 2 boxes of ball. And if you wanted to get some 40 caliber and some 45, we would set you up with that whole thing again. But if someone came in and said they want a case of 9mm, I wouldn't do it because that's taken so many other clients and customers out that I would not have that ammo to sell to. And eventually we'll get back to that point where, you know, I'll have a surplus of ammo where I could sell you a case of ammo and it won't short me on other customers because I can replace that before we need it.
Talking to our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory. Jess, I saw I think it was the month of March, we set the record for the most ever background checks in a month. We were hearing stories about that being delayed and you know, the background check taking longer than usual. What's the situation there? Are we still seeing that delay, or have things slowed down in that area as well?
So, yeah, we not only broke the record, we destroyed the record. I mean, it was incredible. So we do it digitally, so we actually type everything in. Most people go through pretty quickly. When we're going to a further review, so they have to look at something, those time frames are still taking a while. Which used to take maybe 4 or 5 minutes, I'm seeing some of them go up to about 20 minutes. I think that has a lot to do with also some of these are new time, you know, first time buyers who've never attempted to purchase a firearm. So they may have to do a little more review on their background in that. But it's not nearly the numbers that we saw in March. This April number is going to come down. It's still going to be high, but it's going to come down significantly. But it's going a lot smoother now. We are actually crashing their system. There's so many dealers calling in at the same time, the actual system would go down. But we're not seeing that problem now.
Wow, that is amazing.
Hey, Jessica, I got a question for you, Jess. What is the tone of your customers, your new customers especially, when they're in? Do they seem like they're freaking out, or do you think they're pretty level-headed about, you know, what's going on and what they're doing? They're shopping in your store, Razorback Armory?
I think they're definitely more level-headed. In that initial hit and everything was – had a lot more panic to it, a lot more immediacy, a lot more, oh my, you know, like almost like they were freaking out that they didn't have something. Now people are realizing that, you know, having a firearm to protect yourself, to protect your loved ones, and just for that sense of security in that, is a good idea. They're coming in and there's more shopping involved now. We're kind of looking at, you know, some different firearms, and having those conversations about safety. And the hard part is now is having that conversation of where to send them to go shoot because a couple more ranges have closed.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy to send them just down the street. We're having to have them make some phone calls and get them some numbers at some local ranges and see when they can get in. But It's that immediacy, that panic, you know, the kind of I'll take whatever you have is not really there. Now, at least they're a little more informed and they're coming in and making a purchase and they're, you know, they really want to exercise their Second Amendment right and be able to own the firearm and get, you know, get learned up on it as far as maintenance, as far as, you know, safety and shooting it, which is good, which is what they should do. But it's definitely calmed down a bit.
That is our buddy Jesse Rolfe from Razorback Armory. Unfortunately, just about out of time on the show. But like I said, make sure you download the podcast exclusive on Monday as we will continue this conversation. Got some news stories and some other issues that definitely want to talk to Jesse about. So we will continue that discussion on the podcast. Before we run out of time, Jess, tell people how they can find you out there at Razorback Armory there if they want to come to the store. And then also social media, websites, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So we're at 12072 Manchester Road in De Pere, half mile east of 270, right next to the tennis shop. Tell them Bo sent you. That way I'll know to, you know, give them his credit. But in RazorbackArmory.com, we're on Facebook, Instagram, everything. If you guys, whatever platform suits you best, give us a call, shoot us a text, shoot us an email. You know, we'll get you handled.
Great stuff, Jess. Thank you so much. Make sure you check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. And as I said, download the podcast exclusive this week, and we are going to continue our discussion with Jesse. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. For my partner, Bo Matthews, our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here again next week. Have a good one. Wash your hands. We're jumping, 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 hope you're jumping too. To our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory, you're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors.
Yeah. All
right, we're jumping. Yeah, that's a good song, Chad.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and producer Chad Ellis in studio. My partner Bo Matthews is connected to, he's at his house as we continue to practice proper social distancing. Amazing stuff in that last segment from Chef Jason McGraw, who is recovering from COVID-19. That conversation could have went twice as long. So much good information there from Chef Jason. As I mentioned, just hearing a firsthand account of somebody who has gone through coronavirus, you learn so much more and you get so much more insight than what you get on the news and from politicians and reporters. So big thank you again to Chef Jason McGraw for sharing that with us. If you missed it or you want to hear it again, of course, download our podcast. Two podcasts every week that we release. On Friday, we put out the show podcast before the show even airs. And then on Monday, we put out the podcast exclusive, which is a discussion that you can only get on the podcast. And you can get those podcasts pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. But my favorite place is the radio.com app, which is free. All you have to do is download the app and favorite the radio station. Then you can stream the station and download the podcast right there on the app. And sticking around with us for this week's podcast exclusive is our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory, who's going to be joining us in a minute. And since we're going to be talking to Razorback Armory, this segment is brought to you by...
What? Razorback Armory. They're a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts, whether it's sports shooting, self-defense, or hunting. Check out RazorbackArmory.com and on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270. You tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Yeah, so Jesse, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And like I said, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive when it comes out on Monday as we will continue this discussion with Jesse. How are things out there at Razorback, Jess?
Doing good. Doing good. Staying busy. Seeing a lot of new faces. Trying to service the community and keep everybody well armed.
Yeah. So the last time we talked to you, you were, it was busy. You were having the same issue that we've talked with about a lot of, you know, that we've been hearing about in the industry, in the firearms industry. Have things slowed down at all, gotten back to normal at all, or is it still a run on handguns and ammo just like the last time we talked to you?
It's slowed down a little bit. Now we're shifting gears to a problem of inventory, because everybody in the nation is trying to buy from the same wholesalers, the same distributors, and we're spending a lot more time on the phone with different wholesalers trying to make sure that we can stay stocked and still have product to get to everyone. But there's not as many lines as the people, you know, at the shop coming in. It's kind of I think this is the new normal for a while with mm-hmm. the amount of people we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. And what about, so ammo, is that something that you can get again now, or is it still a wait on getting, like, the common ammunition?
Yeah, common ammunition, your 9, your 5.56, your 7.62, 39, 40 cal, 45. So we can get it, and we are getting it, and we're getting shipments almost daily. The problem is we can't get as much as we would like at one time because we're having to spread out our orders across different vendors, which are only allowing, you know, us to purchase, you know, certain quantities. I can get case quantities, or I might be able to get 2 cases here. So we're spreading it out. And then what really stings us on the backside of that is they're 3 to 4 weeks out on shipping. So the ammo I'm getting today, I ordered almost a month ago.
Wow. And can you?
And say a case, do people buy? Normally, we're in the same studio, so I can hold my hand up. Like I got a question. Sorry about that.
Jump in.
And some of the stores that I've been in, they're limiting people to 1 box of ammo or something like that. But if somebody called and said, "I want a case," can you do that, or do you do that?
I wouldn't do it right now because it wouldn't be fair to everybody else. We're limiting to. Unless I've got an excessive quantity of an ammo for some reason, which honestly, I don't really have it. We're limiting you to 2 boxes of ball ammo and a box of defensive ammo per caliber. So if you wanted 3 boxes of 9mm, you can get a box of hollow points, 2 boxes of ball. And if you wanted to get some 40 caliber and some 45, we would set you up with that whole thing again. But if someone came in and said they want a case of 9mm, I wouldn't do it because that's taken so many other clients and customers out that I would not have that ammo to sell to. And eventually we'll get back to that point where, you know, I'll have a surplus of ammo where I could sell you a case of ammo and it won't short me on other customers because I can replace that before we need it.
Talking to our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory. Jess, I saw I think it was the month of March, we set the record for the most ever background checks in a month. We were hearing stories about that being delayed and you know, the background check taking longer than usual. What's the situation there? Are we still seeing that delay, or have things slowed down in that area as well?
So, yeah, we not only broke the record, we destroyed the record. I mean, it was incredible. So we do it digitally. So we actually type everything in. Most people go through pretty quickly. When we're going to a further review, so they have to look at something, those time frames are still taking a while. Which used to take maybe 4 or 5 minutes, I'm seeing some of them go up to about 20 minutes. I think that has a lot to do with also some of these are new time, you know, first time buyers who've never attempted to purchase a firearm. So they may have to do a little more review on their background in that. But it's not nearly the numbers that we saw in March. This April number is going to come down. It's still going to be high, but it's going to come down significantly. But it's going a lot smoother now. We are actually crashing their system. There's so many dealers calling in at the same time, the actual system would go down. But we're not seeing that problem now.
Wow, that is amazing.
Hey, Jessica, I got a question for you, Jess. What is the tone of your customers, your new customers especially, when they're in? Do they seem like they're freaking out, or do you think they're pretty level-headed about, you know, what's going on and what they're doing? They're shopping in your store, Razorback Armory?
I think they're definitely more level-headed. In that initial hit and everything was had a lot more panic to it, a lot more immediacy, a lot more, oh my, you know, like almost like they were freaking out that they didn't have something. Now people are realizing that, you know, having a firearm to protect yourself, to protect your loved ones, and just for that sense of security in that is a good idea. They're coming in, and there's more shopping involved now. We're kind of looking at, you know, some different firearms and having those conversations about safety. And the hard part is now is having that conversation of where to send them to go shoot, because a couple more ranges have closed.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy to send them just down the street. We're having to have them make some phone calls and get them some numbers of some local ranges and see when they can get in. But it's that immediacy, that panic, you know, the kind of I'll take whatever you have is not really there now. At least they're a little more informed, and they're coming in and making a purchase, and they're you know, they really want to exercise their Second Amendment right and be able to own the firearm and get, you know, get learned up on it as far as maintenance, as far as, you know, safety and shooting it, which is good, which is what they should do. But it's definitely calmed down a bit.
That is our buddy Jesse Rolfe from Razorback Armory. Unfortunately, just about out of time on the show. But like I said, make sure you download the podcast exclusive on Monday, as we will continue this conversation. Got some news stories and some other issues that definitely want to talk to Jesse about. So we will continue that discussion on the podcast. Before we run out of time, Jess, tell people how they can find you out there at Razorback Armory there if they want to come to the store. And then also social media, websites, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So we're at 12072 Manchester Road in De Pere, half mile east of 270, right next to the tennis shop. Tell them Bo sent you. That way I'll know to, you know, give them his credit. But in RazorbackArmory.com, we're on Facebook, Instagram, everything. If you guys, whatever platform suits you best, give us a call, shoot us a text, shoot us an email. You know, we'll get you handled.
Great stuff, Jess. Thank you so much. Make sure you check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. And as I said, download the podcast exclusive this week, and we are going to continue our discussion with Jesse. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. For my partner, Bo Matthews, our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here again next week. Have a good one. Wash your hands. We're jumping.